Chapter 7. The earth under his feet shudders, and Kiba tosses another smoke bomb even as he leaps. He knows Kakashi's nose is at least as good as his, but Kakashi uses his skills to track, not fight. The Sharingan's his weapon of choice, not his sense of smell. And Kiba might not have had nearly as much practice, but he is trained to fight, to use smell to replace sight whenever needed. Kiba breathes in, testing, trying to find the scent, and catches the faintest edge of shifting air current. With a curse, he ducks the swipe of kunai, vaults over a kick to slam a blow at Kakashi's kidney, and feels a fist catch at his chest, hard enough to make his ribs ache, before he's knocked away. A glint of white through the smoke is enough to make him retreat in a hurry, and a second later, one of Konan's exploding tags detonates with a bone-rattling bang. Clear of the obscuring smoke, Kiba looks for his partner, finds her struggling against invisible bonds as Kuranai faces her. He hesitates for half a second, then growls at him in irritation and leaps for the wall, hitting it on all fours. Three long strides to get up to speed, and he launches himself off, slams bodily into Kuranai, and breaks her concentration. She rolls with the momentum, comes up in a ready crouch, but falters when she sees him, and Kiba doesn't let himself. He makes himself think of Danzo again, cold and avaricious eyes, as he let Kiba into his house. The weight of his hand on Kiba's shoulder, trying to be fatherly, as Kiba said, "They're holding me back. I can't be strong like this." Simple, then, to fling one of his poison bombs at her and detonate it with a spark. Green-gray smoke washes out, and he hauls Konan back as she coughs, one hand pressed against her throat. An illusion of strangling vines, probably. Kuranai has always been fond of that one. "The Habarame," Konan rasps, and she wraps them in a shield of paper as one of Kakashi's katon jutsus roars at them. "Down," Kiba answers, and there's enough adrenaline racing through him that it's easy to shape a grin. "Not dead, but only because I lost my good knife. The Jinchuriki got a dose of my backup, though." Konan's eyes narrow. "The Kyuubi Jinchuriki? That might make things more difficult." "He's still a brat," Kiba says, and it's strange to actually mean it. To think of Naruto, only 3 months younger, and have "he's just a kid" as the first thing that comes to mind. Naive would be a better word, really, but Naruto isn't. Just too good to be facing down a traitor. With a hum that says she understands, Konan drops her shield, then immediately sends a flurry of shuriken spinning at Kuranai as she races at them. Kuranai dodges, but she's not quite steady, must have inhaled at least a bit of the poison. Determinedly, Kiba blocks out the surge of worry that rises, shoves it down deep in his chest, and goes the other way, to where Kakashi is dropping towards Konan's back. Kiba gets there first, gets three poisoned Kuranai in the air, only to have one of Kakashi's knock the first two away. The Kapinin ducks under the third, catches Kiba's elbow before it can hit him in the ribs, then blocks a fourth kunai with his own blade, as Kiba jerks around to stab him. Gritting his teeth, Kiba flips up off the ground, twists in Kakashi's grip despite the kunai that slashes down his arm, and drops right over his back, slamming a knee in between Kakashi's shoulder blades with all his weight behind it. The air punches out of Kakashi's lungs and he staggers a step, grip loosening enough for Kiba to pull free. He drops down behind him, throws himself against the backs of Kakashi's legs, and knocks him down, then goes for a stab in the back of the neck. The puff of smoke as the clone vanishes is pretty much expected at this point, and Kiba throws himself sideways out of the range of hands that burst up through the soil. Another smoke bomb detonates as Kakashi rises from the ground, and Kiba doesn't waste time, smells Konan or her clone pass him and falls back, rolling out of the smoke and... "Kiba!" Hinata cries, wounded and bewildered, and Kiba pulls up short, frozen for just a moment. There's a kunai in his hand, coated in one of Genma's neurotoxins that will kill almost instantly, but it's Hinata standing bare centimeters from the blade, and clutched in her arms is Akamaru. Kiba stares at his partner, at his best friend. Akamaru stares back, looking like Kiba really did stab him, and barks once. It takes all of Kiba's effort not to flinch back from the accusation in that sound. And he can't speak, can't move, can't do anything but stand there. Behind him, there's a sound of fury, and Kakashi comes flying past him, propelled by a hard kick. Kurenai is closing in, fingers rising into the shape of seals for another kenjutsu, and behind Hinata, there's movement on the wall. Sasuke, not Shino or Naruto, but Sakura is a step behind him, and they're coming in fast. Kakashi is off balance as he grapples with the clone, and Kiba has a direct shot at his back, but he'll have to go through Hinata to get to it, and he can't. 10 seconds of complete frozen stillness feels like an eternity. A hand grabs his collar, and with a snarl of effort and a whirl of paper, wings explode into the air. Konan pulls him right up off his feet, sends them soaring up, and the kunai drops from Kiba's nerveless fingers as he yelps and grabs for her arms. He's seen her do this before, coming back from a trip from Ame, but he's never experienced it before, and it's fucking high! Past the forest, over the river, skirting the town in a blur, and then Konan brings them down, aiming for a stretch of barren road between two rice paddies. Unexpectedly, her hold disappears, and Kiba hits the ground hard, rolling several yards before he manages to catch himself and stagger to his feet. There's gravel embedded in patches of his skin, stinging painfully, and the fall didn't help all the bruises Kakashi and Naruto gave him, or the long cut on his arm. Even as he opens his mouth to protest, Konan settles on the road, wings shattering. The paper whirls around them like a tornado, sharp-edged and threatening, and Kiba's eyes widen. He takes 3 steps back as Konan stalks towards him, and he's never seen her angry before, but right now she's furious. Amber eyes burn, and her expression is flat but full of threat as she grabs him by the collar of his jacket. "You hesitated," she snaps. "I gave you an opening for you to kill the Koppinen, and you didn't even try." Kiba starts, but his lips feel numb and his heart is pounding with what's definitely terror. He doesn't try to get away, just stumbles with the motion as Konan drags him forward. "This isn't a game, Inuzuka," she says. Not loud, but cold, dark and drowning and freezing, sharp enough to cut to the bone. "You're Akatsuki and they're our enemy. I don't care what ties you had to them. You broke those bonds. If Akatsuki doesn't have your loyalty, you're worthless to us." She opens her hand, letting go, and Kiba hadn't realized he was leaning back, pulling away from her. But as soon as she releases him, he sits down hard in the dirt, staring up at Konan and not quite able to breathe. Konan looks back at him, eyes cold, and then takes a breath and steps back. "Next time you hesitate," she says quietly, "I'll kill you myself." She turns on her heel and walks away, paper whirling back around her to fall into place against her skin, and Kiba can't even bring himself to watch her go. He leans forward, pressing his forehead against his knees, and closes his eyes. They're burning, hot, like he wants to cry, and there's still adrenaline pounding through him, still nausea twisting his stomach into knots. He needs to get up, to go. Sitting in the middle of an open road is the best way to get caught, but he thinks of cutting Shino, putting that sedative in his blood and watching him stagger, pale and sweating as he fought it. Thinks of stabbing Naruto, the feel of his knife laced with lethal poison punched through skin and muscle. Thinks of the horror on Kurenai's face when he told Konan her specialty. Thinks of Kakashi, aiming to kill, because Kiba is an enemy now. Thinks of Akamaru's expression, so deeply hurt and betrayed, and Hinata's bewilderment. Choking on a sob, Kiba wraps his arms over his head, strangles any further sound before it can escape. Konan's right. Konan's right. He hesitated. There was an opening and he didn't take it. He was caught by Akamaru, by his first sight of his partner since he slipped out of his room in Konoha that night to kill Danzo. Konan is fiercely loyal to Pain, to Akatsuki, She means every word of it when she says she'll kill Kiba for hesitating, and he can't allow himself to forget that again. Maybe she's something like a friend, but she's also the enemy, and Kiba can't lose sight of what he's trying to do here. Someone else would be able to do it, and probably better than him, but Kiba's the one in Akatsuki. He's the one who earned a place by killing Danzo. He's the one, here and now, who has to prove his loyalty to Akatsuki no matter what it takes. Someone has to, he whispers to himself, threading his fingers through his hair. Someone has to. Someone has to. It helps a little. Those words remind him of his mother, his sister. Hana has done undercover work before, and she always smiled at him when she got home, hugged him tightly, and ruffled his hair. Kiba thinks of that, of finishing his mission and going home, sinking into her arms and just staying there, hugging Akamaru and his mother and falling into his team's arms to stay. Thinks of finally hearing, "Welcome home," and being able to say, "I'm back." He's never wanted anything more than he wants that. "I will go home," he tells himself, even if he doesn't quite dare say it out loud. "I'll go home and everything will go back to normal. When I know everything about Akatsuki, I'll go back to Konoha. I'll go home and I won't leave it again." That helps more. Makes his breathing even out, brings his heart rate down a little. Kiba's not smart. Not like Shikamaru or Neji or Shino. He needs some sort of goal to focus on, a symbol to cling to. Even with the scratch cutting through it, there's still a leaf on his headband. He's still a Konoha shinobi. As far as Kiba knows it, as long as Kiba knows it, as long as Tsunade and Genma both know it, that's all he needs to keep going. Kiba opens his eyes, raises his head. He shuts away the image of Akamaru, of Naruto, of Shino and Hinata and Kurenai. Ignores the ache in his chest, the sting of his bruises, the stiffness of his limbs. He forces himself to his feet because moving forward is all he can do right now. He needs some sort of peace offering to bring Konan, to show that he's still loyal. Information will work, and they need to know more about the operation of the compound anyway. There's no time for sitting around feeling sorry for himself. Kiba takes a breath and doesn't let it shake, forces himself forward, one foot before the other, until he's moving steadily. He has people to save and a mission to finish, and maybe Kiba isn't the best for the job, but he's here and he's doing it, so he'll have to keep at it. Someone has to. There's a ringing, invasive sort of silence in the room, and Kakashi's been through the aftermath of too many missions gone sideways to think that it bodes well. Naruto is still unconscious, practically in a coma. Whatever Kiba hit him with would have been enough to kill anyone else 10 times over, and the fact that he didn't use the same thing on Shino pretty much only comes down to luck. He probably could have, if he hadn't wasted so much time taunting his former teammate. And Kakashi supposes they should be grateful Kiba hasn't changed completely, no matter what shifts he's made in fighting style. It would be nice if Kurenai was around to help do emotional damage control, because Kakashi is thoroughly shitty at it, and right now there are 4 genin drifting around the room like the walking dead. She's with Lord Hachiyuma, though, taking the first shift as his guard, and that leaves things to someone far less qualified. Kakashi watches them over the top of his book, as covertly as possible, and tries to figure out which one is in the most dire need of help. Unfortunately, he can't pick one over the other. Hinata has tucked herself down into a tiny little lump in the corner, Akamaru clutched to her chest and eyes lowered, and doesn't look to be moving anytime soon. Shino, awake and mostly alert, is sitting against the wall, brooding in a way that's distinctly familiar, even if Kakashi is more used to seeing it on Sasuke. They're probably the most at risk, Kakashi reflects. Though, at risk of what, he can't quite say. He hasn't had enough exposure to Team 8 to know where their fault lines are, which way they'll break when pressure is applied. With his own team, it's easy enough to tell. They come together under duress, show hints of flawless teamwork that's normally buried under bickering. And each time they face a threat, they get stronger. It's almost made Kakashi want to put them down for back-to-back B ranks just to iron out all their sharp edges under the duress of real danger. Though he doubts the Hokage would approve. Sarutobi had certainly seemed unsupportive when he brought up the idea. A body drops down to sit next to him, and Kakashi raises a curious brow at Sasuke as the boy leans back against the wall. Dark eyes linger for a long moment on Naruto before they slide back to Kakashi. And there's something like fury written into the pale lines of Sasuke's face, something helpless and angry and ever so faintly panicked. "The idiot's been asleep for a while," Sasuke says, low enough not to attract Sakura's attention, where she's determinedly sorting through their supplies. Kakashi hums lightly and doesn't lower his book. "It was a lot of poison," he says, not bothering to lower his voice, and sees Hinata flinch, Shino tense. Sasuke grunts, but his eyes are back on Naruto's still form, and his hands clench into fists. "I could have helped," he says abruptly. "He could have," Kakashi acknowledges. Sasuke is quick, and even though they're still working on mastering the Sharingan, he's progressing quickly. Anko has been teaching him Kenjutsu too, and she's terrifying enough with a sword that there's no way Sasuke can come out anything less than brilliant. Kakashi had looked at Kiba, though, and, well, not written him off, maybe, but he hadn't accounted for anything more than a 12-year-old genin who couldn't even pass the chunin exams. Naruto and Shino, he had thought, would be more than enough to deal with Kiba, since they both knew his fighting style. Kakashi's mistake. To think that 5 months as missing nin wouldn't have had much of an effect on Kiba's skills. To think that Danzo's death was an aberration and not a hint at depths of talent no one had thought to touch. The bruise between his shoulder blades aches, bone deep and still setting in. Kakashi had thought that he had Kiba, was ready to subdue him, and the Inuzuka as a clan have always been decent at misdirection and smokescreens, both figuratively and literally. But that was still surprising. Kiba managed to get himself out of Kakashi's hold and put him right in his partner's line of fire without even looking at the woman. Instinctive awareness of her movements, Kakashi thinks. And it's not happy. The Inuzuka are good at teamwork, of course, but Kakashi's only ever seen that level of it applied to their ninken. Kiba changed his fighting style in a way Kakashi has never seen, adjusted and made allowances for fighting with someone who doesn't have the single-minded intensity of an Inuzuka-bred nindog. He learned how to use his smaller size against older opponents, how to go for the legs and the knees, how to augment his speed with poisons that mean he doesn't have to try for more than a glancing blow. Dedication, Kakashi thinks tiredly. That's what dedication looks like. Kiba is making himself stronger. Carefully, methodically, he's picking out his weaknesses, size, reach, inexperience, and countering by putting all his effort into expanding what he's already good at. That ruthless sort of Inuzuka-specific brawling, full contact and unhesitating, his speed, his nose, his misdirection. Even his ability to fight in tandem has been refined, filtered down until it can be applied to human partners as well. Maybe he got training from somewhere, but Kakashi doesn't think so. That sort of thing comes from the inside, from a person who looks at themselves and thinks, "I need to change, I need to be better." Training might have started Kiba on that path, but he kept going down it by himself, and it honestly worries Kakashi what might come of it. An enemy who knows that much about Konoha, about the clans and the politics and the friendships and enmities between its leaders, that's dangerous. Kiba is dangerous. And the fact that he was able to put down a Jinchuriki in less than 10 minutes proves that. The woman was a threat too, but Kakashi more or less expected that of her. An adult kunoichi wearing no signs of affiliation with any clan or village, with hard eyes. She has experience. Kiba doesn't, and Kakashi worries, deeply, about what he'll become when he does. For the first time, he considers that Tsunade may have known what she was doing when she marked Kiba as an S-rank threat. Next time, he tells Sasuke lightly, and Sasuke glances over at him, eyes narrowing. You think they're going to attack us again? He says, testing. Kakashi hums, tapping a finger against the spine of his book. They came after the Lord twice already. There's no reason to assume they'll stop before they finish their mission. We need to be ready. Sasuke flicks a glance from Hinata to Shino to Naruto, mouth tightening into an unhappy grimace. He grunts, as much of an answer as he'll give about emotional things. But Kakashi can see him thinking, considering, planning. Sasuke is good at strategy, to the point where Kakashi is almost ready to recommend lessons on it with Shikaku. He plays the long game, and it's the perfect counterpoint to Naruto's ability to create, discard, and change tactics on the fly. Together, they're going to make a formidable team if they can just survive puberty. Who would you position and where? He asks casually, keeping his gaze on his book. But Sasuke is sitting on his right side, and Kakashi can see the look his student shoots him out of the corner of that eye. Still, Sasuke considers it for a long moment, curling his fingers around the hilt of the sword he usually carries across his back. Another look at the room's other occupants, and he hesitates, then says, "That woman, you couldn't copy her ability." Kakashi hums in confirmation, turning a page. "Either a Kekkai Genkai or something that doesn't need hand seals to activate," he agrees. "The paper didn't burn, either." Which is patently not fair. Kakashi would like to point out, paper is supposed to burn. But the woman used her ability to block more than one Katon Jutsu, so clearly the lack of ignition wasn't a fluke. Sasuke grunts, still thinking. "Teammate is emotionally compromised," he says, quietly enough that Shino and Hinata won't hear it unless they're trying to listen in. "Unfortunately true," so Kakashi tips his head in a brief nod. "Kiba was their teammate," he returns, just as soft. "Naruto is too," Sasuke murmurs, eyes flickering back to the futon again. His grip on his sword tightens, the only readily visible sign of distress, and after a moment he forces himself to look away. Kiba was his friend. Past tense. Clearly Sasuke has no problem considering Kiba as an enemy. But then, with Naruto so pale and still on the mattress, Kakashi supposes he doesn't either. He doesn't answer, just watches Sasuke out of the corner of his eye as the boy weighs his options. Finally, Sasuke shifts, pulling his legs up under him and sitting upright. "You need to be the one to take Kiba out," he says softly. "Kurenai and Shino can face the woman. Our team is backup." It's the same solution Kakashi came up with, and he hums in approval. "That will work," he agrees, then glances over at the clock. It's almost time for Sakura and Hinata to take over guarding the family. Leaving the two of them on their own doesn't sit overly well with Kakashi, but he plans to leave his pack scattered around the estate, which will hopefully serve as enough of an early warning that nothing will take them by surprise. A whole week of this, Kakashi thinks a little ruefully. And that's if they can convince Lord Hachiyuma to keep things short. Then another week to the capital if they move fast, with far too many possibilities for ambush along the route. Kakashi almost wants to send for backup, or maybe a Tokujo squad to take over the mission for them. But two Genin teams are, theoretically, more than enough for a protection mission. It's just their bad luck that these particular teams would get these particular opponents. "You should get some sleep," he tells Sasuke. "You and Shino have the dawn shift." Sasuke grimaces, though whether because of the Shino part or the dawn part, Kakashi can't quite tell. Still, he pushes to his feet, then heads for one of the bedrolls laid out beside Naruto's. He collapses into it, still holding his sword. And Kakashi can't fight a small smile. Apparently, Sasuke is picking up Anko's habit of using weapons as a security blanket, which is both amusing and beneficial. It's not exactly a bad habit for a shinobi to have.